Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakur ki jai. Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana ki jai. Vrindavan Dhamma ki jai. Mathura Dhamma ki jai. Navadvipa Mayapur Dhamma ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma ki jai. Gangamay Jamuna Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesis and Nirvani Paskachyade Satarane Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
July 12, 2012, Skype class. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Text 35. Krishne Gate Bhagavati.
Krishne Gate Bhagavati.
Sastar Yut Pata Gamminam. Tad Bhima Se Tunadyaham. Shasmi Pasyata Me Balam. Krishna. Lord Krishna.
Unmuted.
Gate. Having departed from this world, Bhagavati, Bhagavati, the personality of Godhead, Shastar, wait, now I'm, Bhagavati, the personality of Godhead, Shastari, the supreme ruler, Utpatagaminam, of those who are upstarts, Tadbina, being separated, Setun, the protector, Adya, today, Aham, myself, Shashmi, shall punish, Pastita, just see, Me, my, Balam, prowess. Translation. After the departure of Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead and supreme ruler of everyone, these upstarts have flourished, our protector being gone. Therefore, I myself shall take up this matter and punish them. Just witness my power. So this is Sringi talking, basically saying, I am now a representative of God. Purport. The inexperienced Brahmana, puffed up by a little Brahma Tejas, became influenced by the spell of Kali Yuga. Maharaj Parikit gave license to Kali to live in four places, as mentioned herein before, but by his very expert government, the personality of Kali could hardly find the places allotted him. The personality of Kali Yuga, therefore, was seeking the opportunity to establish authority, and by the grace of the Lord, he found a little hole in the puffed-up, inexperienced son of a Brahmana. The little Brahmana wanted to show his prowess in destruction, and he had the audacity to punish such a great king as Maharaj Parikshit. He wanted to take the place of Lord Krishna after his departure. These are the principal signs of upstarts who want to take the place of Sri Krishna under the influence of the age of Kali. An upstart with a little power wants to become an incarnation of the Lord. There are many false incarnations after the departure of Lord Krishna from the face of the globe, and they are misleading the innocent public by accepting the spiritual obedience of the general mass of people to maintain false prestige. In other words, the personality of Kali got the opportunity to reign through the son of a Brahmana, Sringi. Krishne gate bhagavati shastar yut patagaminam tad bina se tun adyaham shashmi pasyatame balam. After the departure of Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead and supreme ruler of everyone, these upstarts have flourished, our protector being gone. Therefore, I myself shall take up this matter and punish them. Just witness my power. Of course, what's particularly interesting here is that Maharaj Parikshit did do something wrong, and that the Kshatriyas are supposed to respect the Brahmanas. In other words, Sringi has a point. It's not that Sringi is completely wrong here. There was some mistake made. One could even perhaps view it as an offense on the part of Parikshit. That wouldn't be a completely out-of-line thing to do. But Sringi's reaction to it is not proper. The way he's responding to it. He's responding to it by becoming a self-appointed agent of Krishna. I'm going to take justice into my own hands. I'm going to act outside of the normal regulations. I'm going to appoint myself. I am now the self-appointed agent of God. He's not here, Sringi says. He's gone. And so therefore, I'm going to act on his behalf. Of course, Krishna isn't gone. Krishna is always there. And there is a process by which one becomes an authorized representative of Krishna. So we run into this quite a lot. People who think that they're representatives of the Lord, that they can act on behalf of the Lord in order to get justice in the world. Now, of course, there are actual demons who know they're demons and dress as devotees in order to fool people. People like, you know, Prahlambasura did that, or even Ravana did that in order to kidnap Sita. Vyomasura, Vatsasura. So we have Putana. We have instances of demons who dress as devotees. And I would say that even in the modern age, there are actively, knowingly, maliciously demoniac people who take a position of a religious leader in order to cause havoc. And Prabhupada says that such persons he will enter into his ISKCON movement also. Demons dressed as devotees. Now that's not the case here with Sringi. And we should be careful on one side, just like we should be careful about thinking we're an agent of the Lord's justice. So we should also be careful about labeling those who think like that erroneously as being malicious demons. Because Sringi did this, and yet he was not a malicious demon. He was actually, in one sense, a devotee. He understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ruler of everyone, the protector of everyone. In many ways, he is actually a qualified Brahmana. He's just inexperienced and uncultured. So there are also those like that, those who actually believe that they're devotees, but as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, they're disciples of Kali. So that's what Prabhupada's talking about in this verse. In this purport, rather, those who they think I'm a devotee, or they may even think I'm an incarnation. Sringi wasn't saying he was an incarnation, he was saying that he was an agent. And yet they're disciples of Kali. So this is a question, unfortunately, for many of us. At many times we see something happening that's wrong. And again, what Sringi saw happening was actually wrong. He wasn't that he was mistakenly understanding the situation. He understood the situation more or less correctly. That Maharaj Pariksit had acted improperly towards a brahmana who was in a state of trance. So when we see something wrong, what do we do about it? Do we look around and say, well, none of the people who are supposed to be taking care of this are taking care of it. Therefore, I'll step in and I'll take care of it. Here I am, Superman to the rescue. The normal police force is ineffective or sleeping. So do we ever do that? Do we ever take it on ourselves that we're going to be the agents of justice? And perhaps, like Sringi, instead we become the agent of Kali. And I'm sure that we may not have this problem ourselves, but I'm sure we deal with other people who have this problem. I've at least dealt with many people who have this problem, who think, all right, something wrong happened, and the people who are supposed to be taking care of it are not taking care of it. Ultimately, God's not taking care of it. I mean, Sringi, at least here, he says, hey, Krishna, you're supposed to be taking care of it, and you're not. God's not doing anything. The agents of God on earth aren't doing anything. So I have the power, I have the ability, which Sringi had. Let me step in and take care of it. But it wasn't what was happening at all. Of course, Krishna was using Sringi on another level. Prabhupada says many times that Krishna was using both Maharaj Pariksit and Sringi in order to accomplish another purpose. Krishna is called clever. He does many things at once. So Krishna wanted the Bhagavatam to be spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Pariksit for all of our edification for thousands of years. And Prabhupada says that Krishna also wanted to basically change Maharaj Pariksit's service. Maharaj Pariksit was ruling the world, and now Krishna wanted to take him home at what would otherwise have been considered a premature stage. In other words, Krishna wanted Pariksit to leave his position at a time when Pariksit would not have voluntarily thought to do so. When Pariksit would have seen it irresponsible to leave, Krishna wanted him to leave. So Krishna has arranged this particular situation. And Krishna also, one could say, has arranged this situation to allow the entrance of Kali, because ultimately Kali Yuga exists by the will of the Lord. Kali Yuga has a purpose. There is a purpose in winter. There is a purpose in sleep. There is a purpose in old age. So Krishna wants there to be some door for it to enter, and so he also allows that. But putting aside at this particular verse and purport that Krishna's hand is also in this, Sringi was acting as not as the instrument of the Lord, but as the instrument of Kali. So how can we actually be Krishna's agent? And we could also say, how can we respond to those who do something wrong? So that we're really Krishna's agent and not Kali's agent? And how do we deal with those who, thinking that they are going to be the protectors of justice, are, from our perspective, acting as Kali's agent rather than Krishna's agent? And again, unfortunately, at least myself, I've had to deal with both of these situations quite a bit. In fact, there was something in my email inbox this morning related very much to this topic. So when we see somebody doing something wrong, to be Krishna's agent, our first question should be, are we sure they did something wrong? And are we sure it's as wrong and as serious as we make it out to be? Because although definitely Pariksit did something wrong, he didn't do anything worthy of the death penalty. And in fact, Prabhupada said earlier that even if the king makes a very large mistake, generally speaking, he shouldn't be punished, just like the brahmanas shouldn't be punished. So to take the time, you know, often we don't take the time, especially if the thing that was done wrong was done to ourselves or someone that we love. You know, when we say, well, I have to defend the devotees, that's a principle in the Shastra. And then we act precipitously. So Sringi act precipitously. We talked about this in the other verse also. He act without due thought. He act without consultation. He just acted. You know, it's very important. So often it's our mind that's telling us it's very important to act immediately. And frankly, it's very rarely important to act immediately. Often taking some time is a very good remedy. Many, many years ago, I was in a temple community where there was one woman who was famous for sending very disturbing letters to devotees whenever she felt that something wrong had been done. And we did some mediation with her, and we asked her, you know, when you feel like you have to write these letters, why don't you just, you know, wait a few hours, wait till your husband comes home from work and show them to him and get his advice before you put them in the mail. But she wasn't willing to do that. As soon as she was angry or upset, she had to do something immediately. And it caused great disturbance in the community. So to take a little time, and Sringi didn't consult with anybody. He didn't consult even with his father. He didn't consult with the Shastras. He didn't consult with a guru. He didn't consult with anybody. He just acted. So one way that we can be agents of Krishna rather than agents of Kali is to take some time. I mean, if there's a car coming down the street about to run over a child, then we have to act immediately. But 99.999% of cases, that simply isn't true. We don't have to take action immediately. We can wait a few days, we can wait a few weeks even. Sometimes we can even wait a few months. Sometimes we can even wait a few years. And if our acting immediately is going to cause more trouble than we're going to solve, it might be wise to wait. So to wait, to make sure that our emotions have cooled down, that we're thinking rationally, and then to consult, to follow authority, to consult with our guru or gurus, to consult with sadhus, to consult with the Shastra, to consult with the Chaita Guru within, to engage in some prayer and some meditation and some chanting. I give this example a lot, to clean our own windshield before we decide which road to go on. You know, if your windshield's covered with fog, or those of us who live with snow, if your windshield's covered with snow, you can't see anything. You know, we assume I'm seeing everything properly. It's quite humorous. You know, one breath we'll say, I'm a conditioned soul, and the other breath we say, it's obvious. It's got to be like this. This must be what happened. This obvious that this is what needs to be done. You know. So if we're actually a conditioned soul and we have imperfect senses and we have a propensity to cheat, which includes cheating ourselves, and if we make mistakes and if we can be illusioned, then an immediate assumption that we've understood the situation properly is absurd. So to take some time to decide what to do. I mean, even persons like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati decided he would chant a billion names before starting his movement. He would undergo some austerity, some purification. There's many, many examples in the Shastra of persons before beginning some activity, they undergo some austerity, some purification. Why? To qualify them to have the correct vision so that they can take proper action and they can be actually empowered. Arjuna, before the battle of Kurukshetra, when he was in exile, he did a lot of austerity and penances in order to get the divine weapons, to become actually qualified. And then to have the mood of a servant. So here Sringi's talking about that he's going to be Krishna's servant and Krishna's agent, but he doesn't stop to consider whether or not this is his designated service. And this is perhaps one of the most important things to consider before we decide that we're going to be an agent of justice for God because no one else is doing it. And that is it my job? Is it my service? If I'm a servant, I do my service. Have I been given this service? Have I really been deputed? You know, it's true that sometimes on the battlefield, if the generals are all dead, that somebody who's a lower in the military, Prabhupada talks about this also in the beginning of his movement, why he gave sannyas to very young men, I think 80% of whom gave up their sannyas. But in the battlefield, if the general's died, if the leader has died, so there may be deputization of a lower-ranking soldier. But somebody does the deputizing. So who's given this to me is my service. Am I sure it's my service? Oh, is it in my job description that I'm the one who's supposed to take care of this? And if not, and there's no immediate danger to life, then I don't do it. I don't go outside the bounds of my service. But one may say, but no one else is doing anything, or no one else is dealing with it adequately. Then you go to the people who are actually responsible. You go to the people who have the job entrusted to them. Sringi here is assuming nobody has the job. He says, Krishna's gone, no one has the job, so it's got to be my job. But it's not a fact. He's a young Brahmin child. Even if Sringi thinks that the Brahmanas have the responsibility to chastise the king, there's some shastric basis for that. Still, is he the Brahmana to do it? Would it not be his father or some group of Brahmanas who make such a decision? Just like with Vena, it was a group of Brahmanas who made the decision, both to talk to Vena and eventually to kill him. It wasn't one Brahmana acting on his own, especially a young Brahmana. So we go to the persons who are actually responsible. And we tell them what needs to be done. And if they don't do something, we can go to their higher up. And if they don't do something, we can go to their higher up. And eventually, the higher up is God. We go to Krishna. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharaja bhutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. And then we wait. That is a servant. I was in one temple some years ago when the temple was doing something that violated Srila Prabhupada's instructions and violated a GBC regulation. And I went to one. At first I was trying to do something myself by going to directly to the temple authorities, and nothing was happening. And finally I went to one very senior and wise devotee, and he said to me, yes. Okay, so what I was just saying was I was in a temple where things weren't going very well. I were going to the authorities and complaining, nothing was happening. And I went to a very wise devotee who said, Armila, is this your service to take care of this? And I said, I don't know. And he said, have you gone to all the proper channels? I said, yes. He said, then you have to go to the deity. So I did. And a few years later, maybe 2-3 years later, things were rectified. We also think, you know, if I go to the proper authorities, they're going to act immediately. They're just going to fix it. You see this with little children. Little children think, you know, if I go to my parents, they'll fix everything immediately. But Krishna doesn't always fix everything immediately. When Indra started flooding Vrindavan, there were actually floods. And you couldn't tell higher land from lower land, and the water was falling as thick as pillars. And then Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. It wasn't immediate. It wasn't in a moment. People were shivering from the cold. Or what to speak of Kamsa? Kamsa imprisons his own father, he's terrorizing the citizens, and there's a voice from the sky, the eighth child of Devaki will kill you. Eighth child, why not first child? Why eighth child? Oh, but it was the eighth child. And to have eight children, you know, it takes at least 8 years to have eight children. And then when Krishna appeared, he did not immediately kill Kamsa. He went to Vrindavan. And it was, by various calculations, 11 or 16 years before he came back. So 8 plus 11 is 19. At least 19 years between the time that it was foretold that Krishna would kill Kamsa and when he actually did so. So if we're really a servant, if we're really an agent of Krishna, then we're also willing to wait. We're also willing to wait for our master to take the proper action. Now, how do we know that our actions are proper? We know our actions are proper if they bring joy and peace to ourselves and others, and if they don't do any harm to the Vaishnavas. So Sringi's action caused grief and devastation to his father, to himself, and they were an offense to Maharaj Parikit. So if one's an agent of Kali, then one says, well, I have to get this done, and it doesn't matter about the collateral damage. Like in war, you know, we have to bomb this important target, and if 100 civilians die in the process, oh well. And that's how Sringi's thinking. No, he's not thinking, if I kill the king, then who will be the king? Who'll take care of everything? So in these ways, we can make sure that we are not making Sringi's mistake. That we take some time, that we follow authority, we consult with authority. We make sure that we're the servant, that the position we're taking is actually our service. And we see, how do we feel? Do we feel joyful and peaceful? Are the people with whom we're interacting, do they feel joy and peace? Are the Vaishnavas being served, or are the Vaishnavas being disturbed? Now, the fact is that our Sanatan Dharma is that of a servant. We're always a servant. So if I'm not acting properly as Krishna's servant, then I'm going to be acting as Maya's servant, or as Prabhupada says here, Kali's servant. I can't be serving no one. Now, what about others who act as Kali's servants? And we've seen this even in our devotee movement. In fact, I'd say with the development of the internet, we've seen it a lot more. So someone who sees that there's something wrong, actually something wrong, and acts immediately, without thought, without consultation, as if they're an agent of Yamaraj, as if they're an agent of Krishna, and they are going to rectify the situation. And instead of rectifying anything, all they do is cause a disturbance. They disturb the devotees, they disturb the preaching, and nothing gets fixed. They don't actually accomplish anything except to create a disturbance. So how to deal with them? So sometimes we think that such persons are, you know, out and out malicious demons, but probably they're not. They're probably more innocent persons like Sringi, who, thinking that they're doing something good, are actually agents of Kali. So we should be very careful that we're serving Krishna instead of Kali. We should deal with compassion with innocent persons who, thinking, I mean, Sringi was very qualified. And we should be compassionate upon innocent persons who think that they're doing some good. Like there's a saying, the way to hell is paved with good intentions, who have good intentions for justice, but who have become the agents of Kali. Now, of course, we can also go back to the basics. If we want to be the agent of Krishna rather than the agent of Kali, to chant 16 attentive meditative rounds every day, 3 attentive Gayatris, if we have Gayatri mantra, to study the Shastras and we know the Siddhanta, to serve the Vaishnavas, and ultimately to judge by the result. And when we say judge by the result, we don't mean what happens in the world. When we say judge by the result, we mean what it says in the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is things like joy and peace and knowledge and understanding and illumination. If what I'm doing is bringing me disturbance and agitation, then I must not be acting actually in Krishna's way. And to be sorry for those who act as Kali's agent in the name of serving Krishna and yet bring themselves only misery. They cut themselves off from the actual bliss. They forget the whole point. Perhaps finally we can remember that although Sringi was acting, as we said in the beginning, although Sringi was acting as an agent of Kali, ultimately he was acting as an agent of Krishna. To remember that not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. And even those who are actively, maliciously demoniac can't do anything outside of Krishna's desire. It's not possible. So Krishna will use somebody's foolishness. He can weave it into his plan. He can make it work. Krishna can accommodate everybody's free will into his overall plan. So that ultimately whatever happens is also sanctioned by the Lord. For ourselves, we want to make sure that we're actually Krishna's servant and not Kali's servant. But as far as others' dealings with us, we take it Krishna has allowed this, and let me see what is the Krishna-desired way that I should respond. So I think I'm going to stop here. We've been having some trouble with the connection, and I'm not sure even how many people are online or how well this is going. But we'll stop here and ask for questions and comments.
I don't have the Bhagavatam in front of me right now, but I remember the Prabhupada made some statement in his purport about Sringi and his the Brahma Tejas that he had puffed up. I was just thinking that the real Brahma Tejas in this age is the ability to perform the Sankirtan Jagya, the will of Lord Chaitanya in this age, the Yuga Dharma. And the real Brahma Tejas is to be able to change someone's heart, to free someone from the contamination of Kali Yuga and make them a devotee. And in one sense, we could see it as someone insignificant in terms of brahminical power. They could just, create this snake bird that would kill someone. In one sense, ultimately, that's not that impressive. Sometimes people would ask Prabhupada if he was able to, do some very powerful mystic thing, and Prabhupada would answer, I don't remember the exact quote, but the fact that he has converted so many people into devotees, that is most impressive. There's some yogis that will, be able to, create something or pick fruit from some distant place. And those that don't have a lot of spiritual knowledge will be impressed by that. And someone may be very impressed by the fact that he was able to create this snake bird to kill Maharaj Prickett. But the real impressive brahmanas are the able, as I would see it, those that are able to actually help one to advance in spiritual life and free them in this age of Kali, take them back to Krishna.
Very nice point. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mother Urmila, I have a question in relationship to your class. By the way, I must say that this class was really, really wonderful. With the examples that you're giving in relationship with Sringi, with our own situation, what if the offended devotee, the longer you wait, the more damage is done? Because one of the recommendations she gave was that you take some time before you act. What if it's the longer you wait, the more damage is done?
Well, you have to, how do you know that? I would I would like to propose that we don't know as much as we think we know. And time is an interesting thing. Time helps you put things in perspective. People also forget things in the space of time. You know, but you want to be careful that your actions are going to help the situation rather than hurt it. You don't want to make things worse. And often fast action without due consultation and deliberation and purification often makes things worse. You know, I'll personally readily admit that I've had this problem of Sringi in my own life many, many times where I've thought, I have to act now. And I have to act. It has to be me. And it has to be now when no one deputized me. And it really didn't have to be now. And the result was that I made things worse. In some cases, I was the one who ended up making it worse for the person than the original problem. Because I didn't take the time to really do some careful research. I have an instance in my life where a devotee was, as far as I knew, being unjustly accused, where things were either just made up or exaggerated, and the devotee's whole standing in this association of devotees would be threatened. And so I went to an authority and demanded an investigation. But I didn't do my homework first. I didn't find out what would be involved in that kind of an investigation. What were the ramifications of even just doing an investigation? I thought, okay, I'll ask for an investigation and that way everything will be cleared. But I didn't realize that the person that I went to didn't have the resources or the inclination to actually do an investigation. They did what you would call a kangaroo court. They looked at it from a distance. They didn't come to the community and interview people and really see what was going on. The only people they talked to were the people making the allegations. And the case against this devotee, which had started out as just a few random disturbed people, ended up to be something that was put in writing and put in files, and it was terrible. It was just terrible. And to this day, I've regretted that I took some fast action, thinking that I knew what I was doing and I was going to solve the situation. And thankfully, the person does not hold it against me and sees everything as the will of the Lord. But for myself, I've become a lot more hesitant about, am I going to jump into this situation thinking that it's going to get worse and worse and worse if I don't do anything? And you know, and I have to be the one to do something, and I have to be the one to do it now. And you know, and I've seen the other way when other people take that role, that most of the time they end up making things worse. They don't make anything better. The only result of people jumping in without authorization, without being deputized and taking a quick action, quick, strong action, is that they lose their inner joy and peace, they lose their inner connection with Krishna, and everything is disturbed. That's my direct experience, both, you know, from both ends of the spectrum. And it's very easy that the false ego convinces you that this situation is urgent, it's going to get worse and worse and worse unless you do something. Something has to be done in the next hour, and something has to be done in the next hour by you. I even had one instance where I was deputized, where I got a phone call from my authority, my international authority in education, telling me, you have to do this and this and this. There's an urgent situation. And so I immediately followed that instruction. And so many people suffered, certainly including me. And there was a reaction that came back on me many years later. And what I realized is I should have stopped. I should have called a meeting of the local leaders and said, this is my instruction from the international office. However, you know, if I follow this instruction, there's likely to be some chaos in the community. What should we do? What's your advice? Instead of just acting on my own, even though I was instructed. So I've had this sort of experience. Unfortunately, I have to admit, you know, I have acted like Sringi, and the result has never been good. I can't think of any time when the result was positive. It was always negative. And when I've seen other people take this position, it's also, you know, again, it's hard for me to think of a time when the result was positive. And you'll see that those who are advanced and wise in devotional service, they don't do this sort of thing. You know, they just don't. And you'll sometimes think, why aren't they taking action immediately? Why aren't they doing something right now? But they've become wise. And they know that becoming purified, taking the time, consulting with people, you know, being sober and being careful, and sometimes doing nothing, is often the much better choice.
Mother Irma, if I could just finish up on this one. I love everything you're saying. It makes a lot of sense. The only problem that I have is that I've been in situations where an authority acts like this. You know, they really take their time to deal with the problem, but they take so much time. Actually, they just don't deal with it. That's their default setting until the problem, in their consideration, the problem goes away. Actually, the problem doesn't go away. It's just they didn't deal with it, and they never deal with it, and it just goes on and on like that. So, of course, you know, that's maybe the fault of the other person. Is, you know, what can I do about it? But it's...
All right, so what do we do in that circumstance? What do we do? And I went through that. Maybe the mic went out at that time. You know, what do we do when, okay, I look at, there's something that's happened that's wrong, and I have the presence of mind to understand that I'm not the person who's deputed, who's deputized, who's authorized. It's not my service to fix this. So that's my first question I ask. Is this my service? So if I figured out this is not my service, I'm not in charge of this other person, I'm not in charge of this situation, I have not been given the mantle of authority, and there's not some immediate danger to life where I have to act without authority. Okay, so then I go to the proper authority. That authority doesn't do anything. Then I can go to the next higher up. I can go to my authority's authority. They don't do anything. Or they do something that I personally deem not to be the right thing to do, which, you know, I have to ask, do I know everything? Then I can go to their authority. And finally, I can go to God. Yeah, I can go to the deity. And I can say, you know, my dear whoever, my dear Radha Govinda, my dear Radha Kunjavihari, my dear Krishna Balaram, this terrible thing is happening. You know, this terrible thing is happening. I went to the head pujari, I went to the temple commander, I went to the temple president, I went to the local GBC secretary, I went to the minister of justice, I went to the whole GBC body, and nobody did anything. You know, you please do something. And that's what we do. That's what the devotees do. That's what Lord Brahma does. You know, when there is problems on the earth planet, the demigods go to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma goes to Vishnu. And Vishnu says, I'm going to incarnate. You know, so, and then what happens? As I said, you know, how many years went by? When between the time that Krishna tells the demigods, I'm going to come to earth and fix this problem, and the time that, you know, actually the problem gets fixed, how much time goes by? A lot. Years. And during those years, it could seem like no action's being taken. You could say, why isn't God doing anything? why doesn't Krishna kill Kamsa in Mathura? I don't know. You know, you could ask him. He killed Putana when he was a baby. Why didn't he kill Kamsa when he was a baby? Why did he let Kamsa go on harassing people? And after Krishna's birth, Kamsa employed Putana to kill so many babies. Why didn't Krishna stop that? You know, this is Sringi's mentality. Krishna's not here. Krishna's not doing anything. I have to do it. That's not the view of a servant. Unless that's your service. I mean, if that's your service, if you're actually king of the world. You know, if you're actually in a position, if you're the minister of justice, if you're in charge of justice, fine. But if that's not been given to me, maybe there's a reason it hasn't been given to me. Maybe I'm not qualified. Maybe I don't really know. And maybe things get worse and worse and worse. Things did get worse and worse and worse under Kamsa. Or another interesting story is where the kings imprisoned by Jarasandha sent a messenger to Krishna to ask for release. And if you read their message, it's quite interesting. They say, Krishna, you've incarnated in order to restore justice. But what Jarasandha is doing to us is injustice. Why are you tolerating it? If you're supposed to be the protector of Dharma, why is adharma allowed to happen at all? And then they say, and we're all your devotees, so we're not supposed to have any karma. Karma adi nirdhati kintu jabakti bhajam. So why are we suffering? If we have no karma, why are we suffering? Come save us. So Krishna tells the messenger, yes, I will save you. Then Narada comes and tells him about Yudhisthira's Rajasuya Yajna. And Uddhava, giving advice, says that Jarasandha can be dealt with as part of the Rajasuya Yajna, because as part of the Rajasuya Yajna, all the kings in the world have to agree that Yudhisthira is the emperor and anyone who doesn't will need to be killed. So Krishna agrees that's a good idea. So he tells the messenger, don't worry, we'll take care of everybody. The messenger leaves. Then Krishna assembles all of his family members, and he didn't have just two children and one wife. And they travel then from Dwarka to Hastinapur. So they're traveling by horse, by ox cart, and by walking, carrying palanquins with the queens. So we're bringing, 16,108 queens with most of their children went. Some of them stayed to guard the city, but most of the 10 or more children of each queen went, the washer people, the tutors, the children had to be educated during this time, all the servants, and a lot of the other citizenry that wasn't Krishna's direct family, a lot of the other Yadu dynasty. There was a lot of people. They're not going to travel very fast. How long did it take them? In some cases, they had to create roads and build bridges. They finally get to Hastinapur, and then everybody's greeted, and so forth and so on. And then Yudhisthira dispatches his four brothers in the four directions in order to ask for the allegiance of all the kings of the world. So again, that's not something that happens in a day or two. We're assuming that that's going to take many months. And then they come back and they say Jarasandha wouldn't surrender. And then Krishna goes with Bhima and Arjuna to fight with Jarasandha. And Bhima's fighting with Jarasandha for 28 days, for a whole month. Then Jarasandha's killed. If you add up all of these figures, it's at least a year, maybe a year and a half, between the time that Krishna tells the messengers, yes, I'm going to take care of it, and the time that he actually does. Now, why did he make them wait? I don't know if we can answer that question. So you get a message, Krishna's going to deal with it. And a year and a half goes by. When these kings are in prison, they don't know what's going on. They don't know what steps are being taken. Or what to speak of, Vasudeva and Devaki. What was Krishna doing to prepare to kill Kamsa? Nothing, as far as they could see. So this is the view of a servant. And our main disease of the conditioned soul is, I want to be God. I want to take the role. That's what Sringi's doing here. I want to be God. Let me take the role. God's not here. He knows Krishna's God. He's a Brahmana. He's a devotee even. But he's thinking, let me take the place of God. God's not here. He's not acting. My authority's not acting. Let me take that role. So that's what we do. You know, we may not like the fact that we're very small and insignificant. We may not like the fact that we've been deputized to do some things and not others. We may think, I ought to have a bigger, more important, more powerful service than I have. We may look at those who have that authority and say they're not doing a good job, and maybe they're not. Then they'll be dealt with by their boss. You know, that's not our role. And that's the mood of the servant. That's the mood of the devotee. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati has this incredible essay where he says, you know, you can't reform the world. You can reform yourself by chanting Hare Krishna. So, and of course, there's that wonderful thing from Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. He says, if you try to take the little speck out of your brother's eye, he says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So if I'm not the one deputized to fix something, sometimes I am the one deputized to fix something, and if I am the one deputized to fix something, well, then I better go fix it. And even then, I better fix it with due deliberation and with consultation with authority and with prayer and with purification. I better not just fix it precipitously in a fit of anger and indignation and fear. And if I'm not the one deputized, then I accept I'm not the one deputized. It's not been given to me. For whatever reason, it's not given to me. Maybe I'm not qualified. Maybe I wouldn't know how to fix it. Maybe I would just make a mess of things. And if we're honest, we can think about how many times we've tried to fix something and we just made it worse. At least for myself, I have that experience. And sometimes really harm people in the process. Okay, I think we can take one more, and then I have to go.
Thank you, Mother Arvila.
By the way, it was an awesome class, especially the question. Just a comment, actually, maybe you can elaborate on it if you've got time, because it was part of the class where talking about is it my duty, is it my responsibility? And in reference to Sringi, because he was a son of a Brahmin and he had his tejas. In the original Bhagavad Gita that was being used when Prabhupada was still present, in the purport to the process of knowledge that's outlined in the 13th chapter, Srila Prabhupada says something which is not printed in today's Bhagavad Gita. He says that it is clearly stated here that without humility, understanding is harmful. In the current version, we have one has no real understanding. But in the original Bhagavad Gita, by McMillan, the words are without humility, understanding is harmful. And it seems like Sringi is a prime example of what Srila Prabhupada is saying there.
Yes. That's a very good insight, that if we don't have humility, and we're talking about just a really practical understanding of humility, is this my service? Am I the one deputized to do this? And if I'm not, maybe there's a reason why I'm not. What am I deputized to do? What is my service? And without that basic humility, yes, our understanding causes harm. In the name of helping, in the name of being Krishna's agent, we may be the agent of Kali. Sringi didn't think he was the agent of Kali, but so he was. And we may be, you know, going on brandishing our sword and shield and righting the wrongs of the world and thinking that we're acting as the agent of God, and actually we're acting as the agent of Kali. And then be surprised at the end that we sit down and chant, and where's Krishna? That I can't connect with Krishna, and that I don't really have joy and peace in my life. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.